Okay, you still there, Roy?
I'm still here.
We're going to ask a few more questions and put them up on the website.
Can I ask the questions?
You can, too.
Are you ready?
We can have a little bit of a round table right now.
I want to know where you're going to get 94 million acres for corn.
I don't think it's going to happen. I also farm, Roy, and I'll say right where I'm at, my crop looks awfully good. I agree with everything you said. I think we could run the corn market down a little bit more. I agree with your theory on yield, and I also agree with the acreage. So what do you do if you're a producer? I mean, I think that says in the long run, obviously, it looks like it's going to pay us to store, but I think in the long run, we could be looking at corn getting pretty interesting.
I'm not worried about whether you store it or whether you hold it. I'm just wondering about where we get all the acres we need. What's going to happen this fall with wheat? We're going to plant another 1.5 million acres of hard wheat. This is the highest price they've ever had ability to sell in front of harvest, ever. Mm-hmm. We're going to plant at least another 1.5 million acres of spring wheat in the spring, unless wheat prices really get dumped between now and then. You're going to put an extra 500,000 acres of white wheat in on the PNW. I don't know what we're going to do with soft red wheat acres. I used unchanged, and the guys laughed at me this week. The people that I talked to think the acres are going to be up again. I can't believe it with guys selling wheat at 200 under, but at 200 under, you're still selling $6 wheat.
Exactly, Roy. Keep in mind the producer in general is going to be flat price driven, and as these guys grow, they're looking to spread their operation too as far as their labor and equipment into the summer months. So aside from anything else, some of these guys are just looking at a pure logistics play of being able to spread their labor out.
Well, you mentioned the cost of inputs. With fertilizer prices up 200% since the first of this year, and the fertilizer companies forcing farmers to prepay for fertilizer they're going to put down this fall just to guarantee they're going to get it, I see some guys really furious, and wheat's less intensive, beans are a whole lot less intensive, so you double crop wheat, beans behind wheat, and go forward. I think you're going to have a real hard time getting 94 million acres of corn.
I agree.
Hey, Roy, on the wheat side, did we get all the double crop acres and beans in?
Well, I have a friend that farms in southeast Illinois that took his wheat off on July the 3rd. You know what he planted? 85-day corn.
Oh, corn, wow. Yep.
A comment on that. I know some producers right in Champaign County that succeeded in that last year. 150 whole field averages on corn planted about the June 25th, 27th last year. Obviously a little later this year, but you're also talking maybe 100 miles south of Champaign. So I think it works, and I think that people are going to look more into that kind of operation.
Well, I think that there's two things that you have to take into consideration. Prices were so high this year, even with the prospects of reduced yield, farmers kept at it. We saw stuff planted three times and still got flooded out a fourth time. The acreage that's lost, we may never really totally identify it. But, you know, yesterday and last night, we had 5 to 9 inch rains that came across southwestern Iowa and northeastern Missouri again. I have friends in Kirksville, Missouri that are just devastated. They flood, they farm all river bottoms there in those rolling hills, and they've put all this money getting the crops in the ground, and they're going to play hell getting anything out.
Roy?
Weather's been very unfavorable to the farmer this year. Well, I can't say that. Some farmers.
Hey, Roy, what's your best marketing advice for a producer right now?
I feel that the wheat market has a major, major problem. The Board of Trade has been given a mandate by the CFTC to fix a broken contract. The measure of the contract will be convergence with futures to cash. As far as I'm concerned, that means that futures have to go down $1.50 to get closer to cash. I wanted to chime in with some of your questions about harvest time basis and what happens with basis the rest of this summer. No one's talking about all of the space that's being filled with soft wheat. right there in your own backyard, guys. You got monster tanks just northwest of town that are putting soft wheat away that's not even grown in the area. What's going to be left for corn and beans?
It's going on the ground, Roy.
I hear you, but well, that's ground that could be corn down the road. I think that there's going to be all sorts of space problems going into the fall. You're going to have a monster mini-harvest movement of wheat in late August through September. Well, I could see wheat basis getting to 250, 260 under.
It is along the river right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just talking about shutting it off. There's going to be people that say, I'm not going to handle another bushel of wheat. Shut it off. No bid. Take your bid down to where if you buy it, you're going to make $3 a bushel putting it through.
Well, and we've got some producers that are saying they'll just go ahead and do that, and I'm afraid they're going to end up with their bins full come the 1st of November and nowhere to go with their wheat.
And nowhere to go with their corn and beans.
Correct. Now, one thing to keep a note on, a year ago, a lot of the guys were telling us that they're going to start feeding wheat, this kind of relationship, and I can't say that the world can afford to feed wheat yet.
Well, that's interesting you should bring that up. In an Ohio feedlot or feed mill today, I did a comparison for them. Last night, pound for pound, wheat, they were $1.95 under for wheat. And at that price last night, wheat was within half a cent a pound to the price they were paying for corn. You got a bigger bushel, 60 bushel, 60-pound bushel versus 56 corn pound bushel. With the rally today, that took that back out to where it's almost a penny away. But that was a comparison I needed to give them because they were telling me they couldn't afford to feed the wheat. And I was showing them that the values were close enough that they weren't that far apart.
I'm with you here, Roy. I'm not arguing with your point. I'm with you, but I don't think that the futures comes down to meet the cash so much as the cash may need to come up to meet the futures, because I can't see us continuing to feed wheat. Maybe it'll happen in isolated cases and for short times, but in the long term, I don't think that we're going to see that change.
Well, you guys talked about the crop report on corn and beans. I think that you'll add 50 million bushels to your production in wheat in this August crop report. Yields have just been phenomenal.
When you talk about convergence, the only way I can see you do it is make the contracts more farmer-friendly, so that would force the two to come together. But once you do that, or if they do anything to make it more convergence, these funds are going to go elsewhere and trade. I don't think they'll want to be running the risk or messing around with taking actual physical delivery.
How did we get here? We got here because the farmer sold new crop wheat at $5, $6, and $7. Wheat market went to $13. Every commercial that had short hedges on had to do something because they ran out of hedge money. So to get out of hedge positions, they started selling cash wheat. The market has not recovered from that. I was worried when corn was at $8 that corn was the next wheat market. Had we turned hot and dry in the first week of July instead of wet and cooler, we would have had corn at $10, and we would have had corn basis at 200 under. Now that the corn board has sold off, I don't see the incentive for any weakness in the corn basis other than typical harvest time pressure and concern about space availability, transportation. If you are in the country and trying to buy trucks to move stuff or book rail to move stuff, the cost is just astronomical. And it's going to change our way of thinking about what we merchandise and where we merchandise and how we merchandise it. It's all bearish basis.
Roy, let me ask you on, when you talk about how are we going to get 94 million acres, and you talk about the abandoned acres, what do you see DSO 9 corn doing? I mean, what's it going to have to do to be able to satisfy demand?
Well, I think you use everything you grow. That's what I'm worried about. It's a good thing we had a big wheat crop because it can buffer corn. You have ways of rationing corn. In Japan, they're feeding leftover food rather than corn. I mean, we see the same thing here in the United States. As the feed margins got really squeezed, everybody went to a different alternative. Cattle, you just put them out on grass, let them eat grass for a while. Hogs and chickens are a little tougher, but I think that beans have a much more difficult time in rationing. So I think that when it comes down to the final days, the bean market could control where all of our markets go rather than corn. And I think that the late planting, the scruffy look of the beans, if it does turn hot and dry in August, and I'm not sure it's going to, I'm having a real tough time. It's going to get hot and dry when it quits raining, you know? And I think that got plenty of moisture and stuff's coming on pretty well here. But beans I'm worried about. I don't think they're easily rationed. I think the problems in South America not only affects demand for U.S. beans today, but affects the ability for the South American farmer to expand his acreage. They need to expand their bean acres in both Brazil and Argentina. The biggest co-op in Brazil said that they see a 2.5% increase in their acreage numbers, and that was 10 days ago when beans were trading $1.50, $2 higher than they are today.
So basically, we could be looking at an acreage battle next late winter, early spring.
I don't think it goes away. I think you're right on top of it.
I talked to my banker about this a little bit this morning. He actually called me to ask me a few questions, and he said, "What do I tell a guy that comes in here and wants to put, you know, $150 down payment on his fertilizer? Like you said, he's not going to get it if he doesn't do it." Well, the banker's asking me, what am I going to do to have this guy lock his price in? I said, well, I don't know. You know, I mean, he can hedge, but I mean, I can't. Half the time, we can't get a bid for fall 09. I mean, you can't get a bid for fall 09. Nobody wants to do that. And in the elevator business, you know, I'll tell you what, 3 months ago, we were sweating bullets. And there's been times lately we have too, but whenever we were carrying a large hedge position and the market was going up the limit, we're not a big elevator, but we're family owned. Gee whiz, our margin call's about to run us out the door, and nobody wants to get in that situation again. So what's a banker going to do? You know, I mean, guys, there'll be guys that'll be cash rich this year, and they'll be able to make this work. But you know, if a guy doesn't right now, my co-op told me if I didn't put money down right now, they couldn't guarantee me they were going to have the fertilizer.
Right, I'm hearing that a lot.
And so,
and astronomical prices.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And I actually booked my anhydrous, I'm going to say in March or April for $750, I think. But I had to put money down then. You know, that was a long time ago. But I'm glad I did it at this point. I don't know. I don't think we get 94 million acres. I don't think we get close to 94 million acres. And I think something's going to have to, you know, something significant's going to happen.
Well, let's say that Dr. Fraley out of Monsanto is correct, and that we're going to take our triple stack corn acres up another 10 or 15% next year.
Mm-hmm.
And that our yields will get materially better. We might be able to grow 94 million acres of corn on 90 million acres.
Maybe.
That's a big if. I think this year is going to be a real test for that, because what they're talking about is growing drought-resistant corn. Let's see what it looks like in a year where you've got plenty of moisture.
Mm-hmm. And what if the abandonment of acres makes 94 million acres more like 97, 98, or 99?
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the abandonment of acres is not really abandonment. It has to do with that's chopped as silage for dairy and such. I don't think you can get away from that. Your dairy herd's not going down. You talked about the cattle herd being what it is. The dairy herd, California, Arizona, was up again in the last report we got. The need for silage chop to feed those animals doesn't go away. And if you don't have the increase in ethanol that the USDA says you do, remember, a third of every bushel that goes into ethanol comes out as DDGs. And if you take that DDG away, you got to replace it with corn. So a third of the reduction in ethanol grind goes into feeding. So you don't have a direct relationship.
That's the question I have. Isn't feed usage probably overestimated? I've had more and more guys go DGGs versus corn, and we feel that this probably true feed usage is probably overestimated due to that shift.
I don't think so.
Don't think so, huh?
No, I think that you're using record number of feed grains in the United States. You got a record number of hogs. You got a record number of poultry. You got an unchanged cattle herd. That's what they just said in the report today. We talk about cutting back. We talk about cutting back, but what in reality we don't. Do you realize that we're in the month of June? We exported 28% of all the hogs we produced. 28%. In the world, when you're talking about spending $150 a ton to ship corn, it's a whole lot easier to ship 1/8 of the pounds of corn to ship beef, or 1/5 of the pounds of corn to ship pork. And Mexico, China, the rest of Asia, all big buyers of pork, some trade of beef, but huge trade in poultry, huge trade.